Welcome to Life's Rich Tapestry, a podcast exploring the narrative of people's layered lives. Listen in on courageous conversations spoken from the heart. Gain insight into another's life as we tackle compelling topics which will expand your mind, help you gain perspective, and might even inspire you to do things differently. My name is Evelyn, and I look forward to your company. And welcome to another episode of Life's Rich Tapestry. My next guest, Zoe Alexander, is a certified coach, trainer, and assessor, healer, and meditation teacher. With over 20 years' experience, she has helped individuals, teams, and organizations connect to what really matters, change what doesn't, and clearly define their own unique way forward. She is the founder of Heart to Shine, which focuses on spiritual life coaching, mindfulness, and self-improvement courses. I would like to welcome Zoe to the show. Welcome to the show, Zoe.
Hello, Evelyn.
Yeah, it's so good to have you here. I'm so grateful. So we always start at the beginning. I like to ask this question of all my guests. Where did you grow up?
Yes, Edinburgh, Scotland. So you will hear that with my accent, Scottish accent.
Oh, fantastic. Just tell me a little bit about your family.
Yes, my family, mum and dad, very loving, very crazy. One sister, one wonderful auntie and uncle. Unfortunately, mum, dad and uncle have now passed. I still have my fabulous auntie Irene, my beautiful sister and my nephew Max.
Oh, lovely, lovely. So you obviously live in Australia now.
Yes.
So we're just going to just dive right in because we know that you're a life coach. So when did you decide that you wanted to go in this sort of path of therapies?
Oh, great question, Evelyn. When I was young, and I mean a child, I knew I wanted to do two things. I wanted to help people and write books. And so I found that coaching actually started right after university by default. I was working in retail, I was working as a manager, and the department was about to be closed down. At that point, I got trained up in performance coaching, and bam, I found something that was electrifying for me. I managed to turn the department round and then was sent out to other stores, even overseas, to help set up or turn around stores there.
What year was this?
1998.
Yeah. So is that when it all started?
It's when performance coaching started. Now, that's one side. I didn't stay as a performance coach. That was part of that career point. I then embraced the other parts of me after that, which was healing. I come from a line of natural healers. So I embraced my own innate healing talents. I trained up in healing and I ended up working in a private medical center. And when I was working in a private medical center as an energetic healer, I was aware that some people weren't getting better or weren't getting the results they were looking for from healing. And I became obsessed by this. I'm a really curious person. I have a great love of learning. And so I was curious, why is it some people would and some people wouldn't? I started looking into consciousness, ideas of consciousness and the mind. Now, my journey up to that point prior to that was as a teenager, I'd been depressed, I'd been suicidal. At one point, I couldn't cross the road without wishing I was going to get, bam, knocked over. Pretty traumatic. By the time I was working as a healer, those days were behind me. I'd worked on my own mind. I'd worked in on my own consciousness. So I had this fascination because I'd seen what it'd done for me. So when I was working as a healer and looking at what's happening with these people who are wanting to get the effects that they're coming to me for, but they're not getting them, let's look into their consciousness. So started some basic mind kind of training. And this is where meditation really came in for me, helping people with meditation as well. And what I began to notice is that people were stuck in cycles.
Wow.
And at that point, ba-boom, I then realized there's a way of bringing two things together here. The energetic healing, which was right for some people, and then more of a coaching modality. And people started calling me their life coach or their spiritual coach or their just coachy person. So as I realized there was a desire from the people that I was helping to be renamed, I retrained.
Okay.
And the two parts of my life came together. And now we have mostly life coaching with a smithering of healing. And I'm still very much energetically aware and deeply, deeply interested in consciousness and the power of the mind. But there's less of the healing aspect on now. I want to really empower people to connect to themselves and to flow with themselves so that they can really raise their own vibration and in that way create the life that they're looking to create.
Wow, that sounds so full on. Really, but it sounds so powerful as well. Now, when did you start your company, Heart to Shine?
Yes, I was working, as I said, in Edinburgh prior to coming to Australia in 2006. And I started Heart to Shine in Edinburgh and then brought it over here. And it's now Heart to Shine Pty Limited rather than Heart to Shine Limited as it was in Scotland. And it's been a great joy to set up here and to help people here. And I still work with people all over the world. Still some people in Edinburgh that I still work with, which is wonderful.
Wow.
So yes, enjoy it.
Oh, that's fantastic. Now, do you find that people in Australia have different problems to people? I mean, do people in certain areas have different things that they worry about?
Oh, that's a really interesting question. What I can tell you is that there's a difference in levels of open-mindedness generally. And Australia is a very open-minded country. It's actually a great country for someone like myself. I don't know how you feel, Evelyn, but yourself to live. It's a lot easier to be slightly different. There's a lot less weight being carried around.
Because Australians or the country is like that, do you find that your clients embrace more different sorts of, I guess, therapies? Is that what you find here in Australia or...?
Humans are humans, yes. And we have our pains and we have our passions. And I'm speaking very generally with broad strokes here.
Yeah.
But in the UK, I would be either first call or last call, last hope saloon. Whereas over in Australia, here, there's a kind of, take this person's number. She's great. And so people will call me and say, hey, Zoe, I don't really know what you do, but can you help me?
Now, is there a bit of a fine line if you know that they actually not just need life coaching, that they might need psychological help?
Of course, of course. And it's the first thing I usually say to people is, I'm not here because you have a problem. If you feel you have a serious psychological problem, you need to be within the mental health sphere. You need to be with GPs, psychologists, psychiatrists. I'm here because you want to make more right.
Right.
You want to connect to you. You want to make some change and you want to really explore who you are and how you can be living with purpose and more meaning in your life.
With your consults, what do they consist of? I mean, do you find online better or in person better? Or, I mean, I know we've been going through COVID now, but what do you personally find better?
Yeah, well, because I came from the UK and then to Australia, I always had a base of working with people remotely.
Yeah.
So it has changed since COVID. The majority of my clients before that, they were on Zoom, Skype, FaceTime. Now, they are almost exclusively on that. And I've only spent one day a month now in face-to-face.
Energetically, do you feel the same energy through online?
Yes. In some ways, it's a lot easier.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's really interesting. And people find that hard to get their head around, unless they're really into energy. And then they understand, energy is not defined by time and space, is it?
What do you think is the value of life coaching?
Oh, you service your car.
Yes, that's so true.
Yeah.
Wow.
The most important thing you have is your life.
Yeah.
And you need to take that seriously if you want to live your happiest, fullest, most successful version. This isn't a dress rehearsal here.
Yeah, no, that's so true. That's so true. Now, I must admit, I do feel like there's a lot of life coaches out there.
Mm.
And it seems that there are a lot of people who say, oh, do this course, you'll be a life coach after this course.
Well, each and everybody to their own. The field of coaching in the time that I've been in it has changed dramatically. I mean, it's so, so different. And when I was setting up, it was all vision boards and wishful thinking. Yes. Now, you can get, if you want, postgraduate diplomas in coaching.
Yeah.
It's very much it's changing. But there are still these courses that can give you a piece of paper in however length of time. That's not where I am. Anybody who's thinking about a life coach, do your research. See if you can have contact with them. If you get a referral, someone's been to them, then that's half of the battle. You kind of know you have someone you trust. That's a great thing. But see if you can talk to them or communicate with them and just make sure they're the right person. Because coaches can... They're very different, just like people are very different.
Yeah, that's right.
And some will specialize in some particular ways. So, for example, I'm a spiritual life coach. And what that means is I'm really interested in making sure that your sense of meaning and purpose is alive in whatever we're doing. And if we are looking at one area of your life, I want to make sure that we're not blowing up at the same time another part of your life.
Right,
sometimes if you're doing something, say, a form of coaching that's looking solely at your relationships, that's great if the rest of your life is working great and it's just the relationship. But if your relationship's not working, you're not looking after yourself, you're worried about what's happening either in your job or in your own business, you really need a more holistic perspective, because focusing in on one may actually even encourage blowout in the others.
Yeah.
So that's my type of coaching. People know deep down what it is they're looking for. They have a sense. And what people will come to for me is, oh, I'm just not right. I'm disconnected. Something's not engaging right now.
Yeah,
Or I actually don't know what this is. And it's a very brave thing to come forward and say, I don't know what this is, but hey, can you help?
What is the difference between spiritual life coaching and life coaching?
Yeah, that's a great question. And it's one of the things that makes me and Shirley, who I work with at Heart to Shine, different from other regular life coaches. We are looking at meaning and purpose, whatever that means. So we help spiritually minded people live healthy, happy, successful physical lives.
Okay.
Now, that sounds very, very simple. But if you're someone who either has got their sense of meaning is lost, or what is my purpose?
Yeah.
It can feel really, really heavy. Like, if I go in this direction, will I find purpose here? If I go in that direction, will I find purpose? Or if you're someone who's actively engaged with their sense of spirituality, you can be thinking, oh, what's the universe trying to show me here? Or I'm having these experiences and either I like it or I don't like it, but this part of my life is working, perhaps a spiritual life, but my physical life is just not. Mm. And so we really specialize in harmonizing someone's spiritual perspectives, really connecting in with that, but actually grounding it creating a meaningful and purposeful life, that the result is you feel happier, you feel healthier, and you are able to create greater levels of success if that's what you're looking to do.
Now, just to come back to the word spiritual, because some people might not think, well, I'm really not that spiritual. But what is the definition of spiritual?
Well, I use just a working definition of sense of meaning and purpose. Most of the people who come to me, they know what their spirituality is.
Yes.
Yeah, they don't need me to define that for them. They are talking to the universe. They are engaged with themselves. They are talking about their energy, their vibration, all of these kind of things. Not everyone is really comfortable with that. And sometimes the most spiritual people you meet are some of the most grounded people that you meet. They're just together and flow with the world. But one of the biggest pain points, though, for people who are very engaged with their spirituality, so If I take someone, if you don't mind, you, Evelyn, you know, so I'll see a lot of people like you. You love your astrology. You love your numerology. You love people.
Yeah.
You talk about the universe. You're engaged in the universe.
Yeah.
And so a lot of my people are a bit like you in that sense. It's something that is alive and dynamic. And spiritual life coaching is about harnessing that.
Okay.
And using that as a way to connect in with yourself and create more meaning and purpose. And that's different for every single person, whatever that means.
Yes.
And for most people, they're working from a spiritual life that they're wanting to expand.
Yes.
And they're wanting to explore that, but they're wanting to actually live a good physical life at the same time.
Yeah.
And sometimes that can seem very difficult to do.
I'm just out of curiosity, like the state of the world now, do you find that you have more clients?
It changes. My client levels is consistent. I think there's more people in general looking for coaches, and coaching itself, it's one of the biggest growing industries in the world. I'm pretty steady in what I do and what I offer. I don't see that much of a difference. It doesn't really matter whether someone is concerned about world events or their career, or there's just a general angst in the zeitgeist. It keeps it pretty consistent for me, I have to say, Evelyn.
Yeah, I do feel there's this sort of collective energy that's actually a bit bothersome. I mean, do you feel that too, being someone who's a spiritual life coach? Do you feel that as well?
I am aware that we have been living under extreme pressure. We've been living under what would be called existential threat. We've had COVID. We've got another virus popping up, monkeypox. We have world power that looks like it may or it could go rogue. We have another one that we're being told could potentially be dangerous. So that we're living in a time of existential threat. And for me, that's a time where it's never more important to go within, check in with yourself, and put the things in place to keep yourself connected to you. Because between that and then all the forms of distraction that we have in life, it's very easy to become disconnected, probably more easier now than ever before.
I think so. I definitely agree with you. And then the weather doesn't help either. I mean, today is a gorgeous day, but it's been insane.
The weather. And the ultimate existential threat that I missed, climate change.
Yes.
And that's particularly hard for the younger generations, watching anybody who's currently in the power age, or in the age of power rather, not really using it and thinking about their future. I mean, that's a terribly disempowering thing and the ultimate existential threat of our time.
Yeah. So in saying that, because what you've added is life coaching is one of the most growing industries, is that correct?
Yeah. Yes.
I feel like I see it everywhere. To tell you the truth, you know, Instagram, Facebook, everything seems to be popping up, or I'm going to be a life coach, you know, so I do hear that. But I know you've been a life coach for over 20 years. So you're one of the original, which is fantastic. we're going to talk about meditation.
Yes.
Because it's something we are going to, on this podcast, we're actually going to share three separate meditations, which you will be able to access at any time. And we've got three topics. Now, what three topics were you actually going to focus on?
Yeah. The first one is disconnection. How we can just use meditation just to reconnect with ourselves. Beautiful. Second one is just discussing and then meditating on emotion. For many people, emotion is something that gets in the way of life.
Yes.
Okay. Emotion is life.
Yes.
And the third one is clarity. A lot of people want more mental clarity. And it's one of the things that meditation can be really helpful for.
And those are, I think, three aspects that we all can work on. So I look forward to that being on the podcast, and everyone who's listening, you will be able to access those particular meditations at any time when they're aired. With meditation, how often should one meditate? And is there a proper way to meditate?
That's a great question. In terms of meditation is cumulative effect, and you want to start small and consistent. So in my courses, 5 minutes, once a day, and that can be so impactful. I've seen people stop smoking on 5 minutes a day. I've seen people's blood pressure Come down. These are people on my courses in 5 minutes a day. I've also seen people go through torture because 5 minutes is unbelievably hard. And I've seen people immediately start and go, that was over way too soon.
Right.
We're all very, very different.
Okay.
But the benefits of meditation are best when they're cumulative. It's about training the mind.
Okay.
And it's a bit like fitness.
Yes.
You're better to do consistent levels of fitness than try and do an hour once a week.
Yes.
So so with meditation, I'll always recommend people to start 5 minutes every single day. And that sounds simple.
Yeah.
But to rewrite behavior actually isn't. Changing your behavior is actually quite hard. So I'll suggest you take a time or an anchor habit, such as after brushing your teeth. Sit down, 5 minutes. Put a timer on so that you don't have to be thinking about the time. And then engage yourself in meditation. It's really important, though, that people are looking for what comes up in the mind as the reasons why meditation is too hard or they can't do it.
Okay.
Okay, so that can be something such as, the dog won't let me sit down, or, oh, I've really got to do this first.
Yes.
And
yes.
It's very, very easy to fall into old patterns. Whereas if you're looking for the benefits of meditation, which is a sense of more peace, a sense of more space in your life, sense of more space in your mind, plus the numerous health and well-being benefits that meditation can bring. I mean, there's so many studies now on meditation. It's just not funny. It's amazing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's one thing that I would want everybody in the world to learn to do is to meditate.
Yes. Yes. But
we really want to be starting off small, simple, consistent with an anchor habit, such as brushing your teeth or after a shower. And it's better in the morning, usually for most people, than any other time of the day.
And should they be sitting down, closing their eyes, laying down? What is the best position?
Well, you want to be nurturing a state of peaceful alertness. So lying back down in the bed after you've just woken up, that doesn't do it. Sorry, Evelyn.
Okay.
So, however, you can just sit up when you're out of bed, though.
Yes.
So, and particularly if you do it after brushing your teeth, for example, you're more alert.
And then closing your eyes, I guess.
Closing your eyes, yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And then that's for the people who can close their eyes. There's a very, very small percentage of people who actually can't focus when they close their eyes. And in which case, they can just really relax their gaze and use a gazing meditation.
Okay.
Gazing on an object, not focusing on it, and then just using the breath, mindfulness on the breath.
Okay. Oh, that sounds fantastic. Okay. Well, I'm looking forward to those meditations that you're going to be offering. So listeners out there, please look out for those meditations within the podcast. There will be separate episodes of them, and we are looking at 5 minutes each. Is that correct?
I think we'll start off with five minutes with a little bit at the beginning and a little bit at the end. Are you happy with that, Evelyn?
I'm perfect. Okay.
Perfect.
What do you love most about your job?
Oh, the diversity of people.
Yeah.
I absolutely love it. And I love watching them grow and pennies dropping and just the real miracle of life.
Yeah.
And when people connect with themselves and they realize something, and it can often be something that they'd already in theory known, but they hadn't got.
Right.
And when they go from, yeah, I know that, to, oh my God, I know that.
Yeah.
Change is beautiful.
And is there one sort of modality that you like life coaching, meditation, or is there one thing that you like more than the other?
Yeah, no, for me, life coaching is person-centered.
Okay.
And it's whatever they need. So if that's more talking,
if
there's an element of healing in that, if there's elements of meditation in that, it's really putting tools in a toolbox and helping people connect up to who they are. And we're all different. I've been doing this for a long time, so there's tried and tested things that I'll put in place. But more importantly than that, I'm present and I'm listening to someone.
Yes.
And when you're present and you can listen to someone without agenda, without bias, and you're just on their side, they often give you the clues and the tools, and just reflecting that back can be really, really powerful.
Wow.
And then popping that with a bit of accountability and let's now do this. Here's your action plan. Let's work on this. Yeah. Sometimes it's, yeah, Zoe. Other times it's, oh, good God, Zoe, not that. But I know you're right.
Now, we are going to have the meditations very soon. However, do you actually do live meditations that people can join in on?
I have done live meditations in the past. It's not something I'm doing right now, but it's something that I will probably do again in the future.
Okay.
I've done live meditations and meditation courses.
I'm going to put all of the show notes in, like how people can contact you. What is the best way to contact you? Is it email or is it through social media?
Yeah, email. Email's yes. I'm on social media, but I'm much more active over email.
Okay, no worries. Okay, well, we'll be doing that soon. So Zoe, was there anything else you wanted to share?
For anyone who's listening, wondering what is their life? What is this thing called life? Dig in.
Yes.
Be brave. Dig in. There's nothing on the inside that truly is scary. And the more you can connect to yourself, the better the quality of your life will feel.
Oh, fantastic. I love that. Thank you so much, Zoe.
Welcome.
Thank you so much for your company. Please tune in next week to Life's Rich Tapestry, where you will hear another courageous conversation spoken from the heart.